Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Now, this is an important service today. Well, they're all important, but Matthew 5, I'm sorry. I've been back in Matthew 3 myself. Matthew chapter 5, today's service, we're going to study the 8th Beatitudes. Now, I don't know, there might be several services before we really get over into the next section, because only in the last little bit of time have I really understood the significance of the Beatitudes. And why are they even called the Beatitudes? Well, I don't know why they originally called that, but in English language, it means this to me now. This is the attitude, Gary, that you are to be. If you don't have this attitude yet, keep praying until you do have this attitude. Because, you ready? This is the attitude of Christ in you. This is how He thinks. This is His value system. This is what His priorities are. And if those aren't my attitudes, I need to pray until they are my attitudes. Now, when I say that, let me say this. Those attitudes are already in you. Now, they might be in you in seed form, but they are in you. Go ahead, Angie. I got up, I printed these, I had them ready, and I left them in the car. So one thing you need to learn is get over yourself and just obey the Lord, you know. If anything good happens, it's all Him anyway. Amen. So the big mistake that we make is trying to become what He has already made us. That is a never-ending striving that you will never... If man could do that, then we didn't need Christ. Isn't that right? In a few weeks or whenever we get to it, when it talks about fulfilling the law, you're going to find out the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Well, why was the law our schoolmaster? Well, try all you want. Try for a lifetime. On your own, you'll never keep it. It's impossible for you to keep it. So God had to do something by grace for us, since by our own works, our own efforts, no man could accomplish this. God, by His grace, says, I'm going to put the nature of my Son in you, and He in you will keep it. You and He are one. He recently told me, would you please, he didn't really use the word please, I'm adding that, so let me just say it the way he said it. Stop separating yourself from me. You and I are one, and we are one with the Father. I like that we are one. You and I are one. And we. Boy, how important is that we? See, the only reason we can fulfill the law is we have Christ in us to fulfill it. And I'm previewing where I am. I'm in the teachings. I'm trying to meditate ahead of you guys. Otherwise, I couldn't teach. But anyway, see, Christ in us is love in us. Christ is love, the love of God with legs. He's the love of God that you can see. But He's the love of God in you. Love is the fulfilling of the law. That's Christ in us. See? So when I say this is the attitude that we must be, it's really, Paul kept saying it, even in Romans, Ephesians, over and over again, he keeps saying, put on Christ. In the same letters, he'll say Christ in you, okay? But it's got to come from the inside to the outside. So we're not trying to become this. God, by His grace, has already made us this. If you really want to know the truth, it is a submitting to the truth that is already in us. Now, that was said pretty well. It's submitting. And that's a renewed mind. That's what a renewed mind really is. Not a mind that's just full of knowledge, but still walking its own way. A renewed mind has knowledge, all right. But it's a mind that yields to Christ in us. And that's how you put on Christ. That's how it comes from just being a seed way down on the inside of you. He literally comes to the surface where even your wife knows you've changed. Even your best friends go, you're not the same man that I used to know. And we're going, hallelujah. Thank God for that. Glory. Well, now that my beloved daughter has brought me my notes, let's go to Matthew 5, starting in verse 10. Now, some people, we're going to look at Matthew 5, 10 through 12 today. And I don't know that we can even finish this passage in one service. We'll see what the Lord has in mind. But some people divide this up into two Beatitudes because the word blessed is used in verse 10 and verse 11. But in my mind, it's really one Beatitude because he's talking about persecution. So I guess I better read it. Starting in Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you. See, the word blessed is both verses. And I'm not going to argue. You know, if you want to make two Beatitudes out of it, that's okay. But I'm trying to teach on it. They're both talking about persecution. So I think it's the eighth Beatitude myself, but I wouldn't argue with you. You can make nine of them if you want to. Just teach the same thing. But blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Why are we being persecuted? For righteousness' sake. See, there's supposed to be a difference between us and the world. Remember our lessons from 1 John. The world hates you the same way that Cain hated Abel. You are the light. You're doing it God's way. You're living the life of God. You are light in a dark world. We'll get to that later in the Sermon on the Mount. You are the light. There's supposed to be enough light shining from us, enough difference in how we live and how the world lives, that it convicts them. And when it convicts them, they're going to go one of two ways. Some of them are going to see the light in you and want that light themselves. They want to want it. Come to Christ. But those that don't, you know, the Bible talks about those that loved darkness. Well, that's where your persecution comes from. And get this, who was it that really put Jesus on the cross? Was it the sinners? No, it was religion, wasn't it? So understand that. The ones that coming after you the hardest could be a Muslim religion. Could be Hindu religion. Most often it's Christian religion. Not life, but religion. Okay. I still haven't read the verses. I'm trying. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you. Now that word revile can get really ugly. And we see some of it very minuscule right now in America. If you stand up and declare certain lifestyles are sin, you get reviled. That reviling, if they know where you live, it could come to protests. It could come to threats against you, your family, your children. In certain businesses now, if you declare the truth, you'll get fired. Or people on Facebook will, and other social media, which I don't know much about, but I know it's out there, they'll do everything in the world to slander you and call you a hater and a bigot. And it's a mild form of persecution. I'm going to read you an article about real persecution here in a minute. But when it says men shall revile you, that's not a nice word. It can get really ugly. And it can come from your family. It can come from friends you used to have. So they'll revile you, that's bad, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Now notice, for my sake. Let me tell you, Jesus is the dividing line. Not religion. I guess you could say Christianity if it's really Christianity. where you're always putting Jesus first. People will talk to you about God and not get real mad. You can have all kinds of conversations about God. Oh, the great first mover of the universe. You know, you can have, but when you start bringing up Jesus, now there's a dividing line. The enemy hates the name of Jesus. And working through people, he'll say against you, he'll revile against you. Anything, trying to shut you up. But if he shuts us up, we're no longer the light that's shining. We're no longer the salt of the earth. That's the very next passage here that we'll get to eventually. So, I'm still haven't read the verses. Let's try and get all three of them. Verse 10 again. Blessed. Everyone say, I'm blessed. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you. Now notice, falsely, for my sake. We may get to Peter. Peter says, don't be persecuted because you're a thief or a murderer. But if you're persecuted for being a Christian, happy are you. Blessed are you. That's the same thing Jesus said. Okay? Rejoice. Now, in the middle of your persecution, it does not say whine and complain and blame God. And let, how did Dave say it? Let your lower lip interfere with the gas pedal of your car. No, it says rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, let's don't let that go too quick. You got to read, when you read the Old Testament, you especially get into the times of like Jezebel and Ahab with Elijah and Elijah and real during that period of time. You got to understand the false prophets greatly outweighed the true prophets. You remember when Elijah had that showdown? I like to call it the showdown at the Mount Carmel Corral. That'd be a good title, wouldn't it? You know? Anyway, he had the showdown there on the mountain. And the God who answers by fire, let him be God. And after God answered by fire, how many prophets were killed? They called them prophets. We know they were false prophets. You remember? 400. 400 false prophets. Let's see. False prophets, 400. And Elijah. It's the same today. You better be careful. The greatest sign of the end times, Jesus said, beware. When they said, what is the sign of the end and of the end of the world and of your coming? And the first words out of his mouth, beware that no man deceive you. And I'm telling you, you got to beware when you're going through even Christian network channels. False prophets galore. Okay? Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank God for the truth. Thank God for the unction from the Holy One on the inside. That if you'll follow that, you'll be okay. So when he says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He's putting you in the category of the true prophet. The true ones, the Jeremiahs, the Ezekiel, the Isaiahs, the Elijahs, and Gary. And that's what he's doing. He's putting you in there, you know, you, B and Rosie and her and Brenda. I get in this mode, its names are tough. you're included. A list of the true prophets. And you're one of these that stand up for truth in heaven. Alan, Tim, Carolyn, Jeff, I know her. I don't know why it gets like this. Dave, Glory, Leonard, hallelujah. Included with Elijah.
Isaiah. How about John the Baptist? Actually, you are greater than John the Baptist. Whew. Well, you're introducing Christ to your generation. John the Baptist identified Christ to his generation. We hadn't got to my notes yet. The attitude we are to have when we suffer persecution for holding fast to Jesus. And I'm talking about the same way he did it. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's going to get you persecution from the Muslims, from the Hindus, and many under the banner of Christianity today, because they have inclusionists now. All paths lead to God, they say. As long as you're sincere, doesn't matter whether you receive Jesus as your Savior or not. Oh yeah, they teach that everywhere, right here in town. I could take you to a dozen churches that teach it today. More than a dozen. And they're part of the false prophets. Well, the attitude we are to have, first off, we're not supposed to be surprised when the world hates us. And that even includes the religious Christian world. Not the life Christian world. We're not supposed to be surprised. Remember, it was the religious people that put Jesus on the cross. And he's plainly told us, we'll get there later, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also. Well, that's only if we're saying the same things he said. So he's calling us. This is our attitude. This is the attitude we are to be. I will hold fast to Jesus. I will be a light in this dark world. I will not compromise. I will speak the truth in love. And I'm not surprised when I get persecuted. In fact, my attitude is I am to rejoice. One place he even says, leap for joy. That we're counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. Glory to God. Now let us be precise here. Here comes teacher mode. When he's talking about persecution at this passage, he is not talking about being sick. He's not talking about... Now, the devil can attack you in many ways. If you don't believe that, read what Dave calls the chapter 11 that got filed on Paul. When he talks about shipwrecks and distresses and all of the things that came upon him. But here, it's plain Jesus is talking about the persecution that comes through people. Men shall do this, okay? So it's not talking about attacks of sickness and shipwrecks due to bad weather, financial distress due to market swings, famine, or anything like that. The persecution he's talking about here is that which the enemy sends through people against you. And it can be very strong. We haven't really suffered this yet. We don't have the cameras yet out in the parking lot reviling this church on television because we say certain lifestyles are sin or because we say Christ is the only way. But eventually I wouldn't be surprised. We don't yet have people following you home to see where you live so they can egg your house and do protests and break windows and threaten your children. Say, oh, that could never happen. Oh, much worse than that can happen. I'm going to read you here in a minute. This is persecution, what Jesus is talking about here, coming through people against you. Of course it is demonic at its source. And there are other forms of demonic resistance. But Jesus here is speaking about this one kind of persecution in this passage. It is people coming against you. Your righteous stand for truth as revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn into 2 Timothy chapter 3. Some might say, Gary, well, I'm a Christian and I'm not suffering any persecution. See, there's a problem with that statement. Because 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 says this. How many? Who wrote 2 Timothy? Anyone Who wrote that? I mean, I know it's the Holy Spirit, but what human wrote it? This is Paul. If you don't agree with me, just go argue with him. Okay? All Scripture is given to us for edification and learning. This is part of it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. And again, people say, I'm a Christian and I'm not suffering any persecution. Well, now, that's interesting. Because 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, that means yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Say all. Does all mean all? Are you part of all? What about shall? What does shall mean? For sure. It's exactly what I have in my notes. That means for sure. All, for sure, who live godly in Christ Jesus. All shall. So if you're not suffering any persecution, it makes me wonder about the godliness of your walk. Did you hear all those amens shouting? See, our tendency is to fear persecution. And that is exactly the attitude that Jesus is changing. He does not fear it. He rejoices when it comes. What? Blessed are you. What does the word blessed mean to you, see? Oh, that means a nice, easy life. Is that what Jesus had? Do you think he was blessed? Yeah, he had Lexus donkeys and camels and Gucci robes, and he dined on fine wine every day in the tinkling of crystal and on china glass. Is that what you call blessed? Sadly, in America, that's what most people call blessed. No. Blessed is when God walks with you. God works with you. Blessed is when you're on his side. Blessed is when you're doing his work. Blessed is when you're empowered. Blessed is when you learn how to co-labor with the Holy Spirit. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead. That's a blessed life. And I don't really care if everybody hates me. Except Sue. And don't get me wrong, I like to be liked. But I like to be liked by him first. See, blessed doesn't mean what we in America have. That's my best life now. I'll tell you who had his best life now. If you ever want to see somebody who's fell for that doctrine, read again about the rich man and Lazarus. That rich man thought he had it made in the shade, and he was surprised when he woke up in hell. He was surprised. He did not expect it. He believed God for his best life now. Dined sumptuously every day. Dave just killed me dead the first time I heard him teach on that passage. And he says, do you understand that Lazarus died probably within earshot of the tinkling of wine glasses and fine silverware on china? They were living their best life now while Lazarus perished. And that man thought he was okay with God. Many false prophets today. Many false prophets. So I wrote here, if you're not suffering any persecution at all, I mean, it doesn't have to be stonings and things like that, but if, you know, Jesus warned us, said, beware when all men speak well of you. Well, do they? Trust me, they don't all speak well of Gary. I don't get a lot of persecution yet. But there's enough. We've had people, you know, people have left here because of me. They'll plainly tell you it's because of me, not Dave. Nobody ever blames Dave for anything. But I got to tell you something. Dave trained me. I'm just not as nice as Dave, you know. Dave has a, how did Nathan say it? Dave, he teaches in code. You come to a service and boy, well, go home just manning. That was a great service. Because it's delivered the truth. He never varied from the truth, but Dave has this gift of delivering it with such love. It'd take me 3 days, and I'm thinking about that message. And I'd go, hey,
Dave was getting on us. Took me 3 days to realize it. And I still loved him. Alan says, you better be careful. You go to Brazil. You can make jokes about this preacher and that preacher. You can say anything you want. Don't you say anything against Dave. The whole crowd will stoneth thee. We love our pastor. But if you're not suffering any persecution at all, I mean, if everybody's speaking well of you, makes me wonder, see, are you keeping your light, the light that's in you, Christ, are you keeping it too hidden under a bushel? Maybe it's under a bushel of fear because you fear persecution. And that's the attitude he's trying to change here. He says, stop fearing persecution. Rejoice when it comes. It means you're doing it right. Rejoice. Be happy. You're blessed. God's happy. God's hand of blessing is on you. Well, it don't look like it. Well, it is. The world looking at Jesus wouldn't have thought his life was blessed. He didn't wind up in massive houses with fancy, again, Lexus camels and Gucci outfits. And that's not the blessed life he was after. He wanted, when he prayed, God would answer. When he laid his hands on the sick, they would recover. Glory to God. Okay, got it. Tell you a big problem with the church right now. Go to James 4. And I guess it's always been a problem. Apparently it was a problem in James's day when he wrote this. You know why the world is not persecuting the church in America more than it's being persecuted? Well, for one thing, this nation started off as a Christian nation. Now, don't get me wrong, not perfect, full of problems, full of flaws. But still, it started off as a Christian nation. When my mother went to school, bless God, we had Guffey. Guffey's Readers? McGuffey or Guffey? McGuffey? Okay. And that's not exactly Bible, but it is Bible. Everything in it, where they learned to read, was the truth of the Bible. Of course, in America, a long time ago, they took Bibles out of our schools. Now, don't teach out of it anymore. But America started off. That's why there's been so little persecution against Christianity here. But, boy, the enemy, can you hear the war drums? Can you hear the enemy assaulting Christianity on every front now? James 4:4, even in his day, remember, the book of James is written to Christians. Verse 4, he says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If there's one thing I do not want to be, it is an enemy of God. Well, how do I become his enemy? Just be a friend of the world. Now, you can be a friend of the world and you probably won't suffer for much persecution, if any at all. But I'm telling you right now, the world might look at your life in that condition and say you're blessed, but heaven doesn't. You're blessed when God's hand is on you. You're blessed when you stand up for the truth and all men revile you, speak evil of you. Why? For his name's sake. Because of righteousness, because you will not compromise a righteous walk. If you're a doer of the gospel of Christ, you are walking the path of righteousness instead of the path of sin. You're no longer walking in darkness because you're walking according to the light of life within you. You remember John 8:12? He said, those that follow me shall not walk in darkness, for they shall have the light of life. That's the light. That life, that light is what lit your candle when you got born again. And the next passage in the Sermon on the Mount, he's going to talk about you need to set that light on a hill, not hide it under a bushel. But sadly, the church has, for the most part, hid it under a bushel. We become so friendly with the world, it's hard to tell the difference. Without saying a word, the world should notice right away the difference between the walk of a born-again child of God and themselves. Let's look at this over in Peter. Peter wrote about this. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4.
First Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 3. For the time past of our life, now again, written to Christians, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Now this is all of us to some degree or another. When we walked, and that's we is inclusive, that's just how unborn again people are. When we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they who still walking in all that stuff, the world? Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. Now notice, speaking evil of you. Now what did Jesus say? Blessed are you which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. In other words, you're not willing to run with those all that sins, all those way of the world. You're walking righteously. And Jesus said, they're going to say all manner of evil against you falsely when you do that. And Peter's saying the same thing. When you refuse to run with them, they're going to see a difference. And many of them, instead of repenting and come to Christ, many of them, they love the darkness. And what they're going to do, they're going to speak evil of you. You holy roller. You think you're better than us. You're, what do they call us, haters, bigots, on and on and on, you know. No. See, when that happens, the natural part of us that's not born again, we don't like that. That's why Jesus is expressly saying, this is how your attitude must be. No, rejoice when that happens. Learn to rejoice. You're in it with the Master. Joined up with Him. You become one with Him now. You're the light that He intends for you to be. His light is shining through you, which there is no compromise in that light. You ever notice light doesn't compromise? Light just shines. Compromised light we call gray. The subtitle of my First John series is Removing the Gray from Your Gospel. Because light is light. And it does not compromise. I don't want gray. I want light. Well, when you do that, blessed are you. He says, blessed. Blessed are you. Not the way the world calls blessed, but the way God calls blessed. Jump on down to the same chapter. Come on down in 1 Peter to verse 14. If you be reproached. Now what's reproached? Spoken evil of again. Slandered. Saying all manner of evil against you falsely. If you be reproached for the name of Christ. What's our attitude? Happy. See. Bronk did a series, it's been maybe a year or 2 years ago, where he says, so many of people, when they first come to his church, and they say, well, doesn't, you know, he starts talking, for example, you just pick anything. Like, let's just take fasting, everyone's favorite subject. Now, I don't know about you, but I understand more the value of fasting. I'm doing more fasting this year. It's sad to be doing more fasting at age 72 than you've ever done before, but that's just the truth, just the way it is. And it's... But I still don't like it. If you tell me you like it, I pray for you. Now, maybe you do. I mean, maybe there is a place. I have not seen that yet. I am happier than I used to be because I know now more of the benefit, okay? But, man, my flesh is not happy on fasting days, okay? All right? So people would come to Bronk and they'd say, doesn't God... Why would He want me to fast? I'm unhappy when I fast. Isn't this thing, the whole gospel, isn't it so I can be happy? And sadly, we have equated the word happy with blessed. No. No, it's not about you being happy. It's about rescuing a lost world by being the light that He made us to be. And we're happy when we're that. And you know it's working. That's why Peter says it. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, you're doing it right. Be happy.
But they reproach me. I know.
Somebody come up. I still remember that time in Dave's office, and there was a person that had sat under the ministry here for years, and you know how Dave would just lovingly, lovingly, lovingly keep giving you the truth. But one day this guy got so mad. I was just blessed. I was fortunate to be there to see it. This guy is like this far away from Dave's nose almost, you know. Just, I mean, you talk about reproaching. He was reproaching. I can't use the words in church that I heard right there. Okay, reproaching, all right. And I mean, he was so mad I could see little drops of spittle landing on Dave's shirt. You know, Dave's response when he finally took a breath. Dave says, "Does this mean you don't like me?" And that just made the guy madder. You know? Now see, what's your attitude supposed to be when they're reproaching you? And Dave didn't do anything wrong. Dave just presented the truth. What's our attitude to be when they're so mad and they're in your face and maybe they've got you on the news and they're egging your house and they're threats and they're calling you everything in the world? What are we supposed to be? Happy. That's when you're happy. It's not about my, you know, R4 and no more and a nice car and there you are. It's not about that. That's what the world calls happy. We're happy when we're the light for Christ. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when all men speak evil against you falsely for my sake, my name's sake. Glory to God. Now that's when you're happy. That's the attitude we're going to have, because I'm telling you, as the light shines brighter through us, darkness is coming after you. You better know it. I don't think it's a coincidence he's having us learn this right now. Because where we're going, light and dark are on a collision course. And the darkness is going to... Now the good news is I've never yet been able to see darkness flip off the light switch. When you flip on the light switch, there's no resistance either. Doesn't darkness just go? Okay, anyway. 1 Peter 4:14 again. If you be reproached, now reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. I can't, he won't let me get past that, because you better start developing that attitude. They called me Zama Zama. They swore at me. I got spittle on my shirt this time. They called me everything but a Christian. I'm so happy. That's going to take some better pray. Maybe add a little fasting. That's already in you, though. It's just a matter of bringing that to the surface. You think Jesus was so, oh, they don't like me? The Pharisees, I think I might have offended them. Come on. He was supposed to offend them. Prophets do that. He puts you in the category of the prophets when he says, because you won't compromise. They spoke evil of the prophets, the real ones then. They're going to speak evil of you now. All that means is you're a real prophet. You're actually more than a prophet. Again, say it again. Born of women, there's not arisen a greater than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Glory to God, you little prophet, you. You light shiner. Back to the 1 Peter 4, I'm trying. Verse 14. If you be reproached, now notice, for the name of Christ. Now, other places in that same letter, he says, don't be reproached as a thief. Don't be reproached as a murderer. We're not talking about that. No. But if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy. Boy, you ought to underline happy, put a circle around it, put eyeballs in the margin, write look. When they speak evil of you, when they reproach you, what is your attitude to be? Happy day. Happy day. Glory to God. I'm blessed. I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed woman. I'm being reproached for his name's sake. On their part, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he's glorified. How is he glorified on your part? Because you're letting the light shine. You're holding fast to the truth. Not just with your words, but with your life. You are glorifying him. I still like, I think it was St. Francis of Assisi. I think he said, preach the gospel every day. When necessary, use words. That's pretty good. Let the light shine. Use words when you need to. But again, the life needs to match up. The life needs to line up with the words. Okay. Here it is. Verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. We're not talking about that kind of stuff. But here it is. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Go on down to verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. You should underline, let them that suffer according to the will of God. See, Peter would have been a very unpopular preacher in America today. Because the gospel that America wants is your best life now. Where everybody likes you. Where you have an abundance of everything. The finest house, the nicest car. That's what the gospel in America, most people think being blessed is. Okay? And Peter would come to the pulpit in one of those your best life now churches. Say, I'm here to tell you that when you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. And they're going, what? What gospel is this? What do you mean suffer as a Christian? God wants me happy. God wants me blessed. Mm-hmm. Blessed are you, which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Well, then the next thing Peter says, in one of these your best life now churches, let them that suffer according to the will of God, and they stop him right there. They take the microphone out of his hand. That's it. What are you talking about, Peter? Suffering? What do you mean? It might be God's will for me to suffer? What? God's interested in me being happy. God's interested in my best life now. Gary, don't you know we live in different times today? We're in modern times, and there's been enough suffering for the gospel. We don't need to suffer for the gospel in this day. And we don't need to suffer persecution for righteousness. Now, see, when you hear things like that, and they don't, and I've actually been, those almost exact words have been spoken to me by somebody who loves Christ very much. Okay? They do. But it's foolishness. And it's going against the teaching of Jesus. And it's going against the teachings of Paul. Did we not just see earlier? Let me just quote it again so I don't misquote it. Yea, and 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's the words all and shall. I'm pretty sure that includes you. Pretty sure. And includes this day. See, because, listen, light is still light. And darkness is still darkness. The kingdom of God is righteousness, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Remember that from 1 John? Darkness hated the light then. Darkness hates the light now. Let's go on over to what Jesus said in John 15. Let's go look at that for a moment. We covered this in the 1 John series, but refresher is good. Again, whoever puts this water here, God bless you. And I mean for you to be happy. Oh, anyway. There is happiness in the world. My daughters make me happy. My wife makes me happy. See, my daughters are at the, you know, they're all love the Lord, serve the Lord. Now I'm really glad I didn't kill any of them when they were young. There was a little while there where I thought the world would just be better off, you know. I'll just watch that old deal. I'll make another one look just like you. I brought you in this world. I'll take you out, you know. Now, you know I'm teasing. But I have so many blessings in my life. I'm a great grandpa now. Her name is Briley May. And Briley May Roper. I've seen pictures. I haven't got yet to witty woo her little cheeks, but I can hardly wait. They live up near Chicago. I'm going to witty woo that little girl. Witty, witty woo. Oh, anyway. There's lots. I have so many blessings. I'm a happy man. I'm a blessed man. I want to be more blessed this way. I'll be honest with you. I want my light to shine so bright that the world cannot ignore it. They'll either come to it to receive that light, or I want to bring it on persecution-wise. I really don't care. My flesh does. My spirit doesn't. So Jesus says, now see, when you start telling me, oh, we don't need to suffer persecution today. And again, I've had close friends actually say that to me. You're coming against what Jesus said. Now look at John 15, 18 through 20. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Now here it is. If they have persecuted me, stop. Did they? Persecuted him all the way to the cross. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And when you tell me that that won't happen today, I love you, I'm praying for you, but I cannot agree with you. Because you're not agreeing with him. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Well, Gary, I'm not being persecuted. The very next section, he'll start talking about, well, are you letting your light shine on the hill or are you hiding it under a bushel? And usually the reason why is fear. And because we equate happy different than he equates happy. We equate blessed different than he equates blessed. But he says, if they've kept my saying, they'll keep yours also. In fact, if you want to look at this one and underline it, go over to Luke 6, 26. This is Luke's account. It's called the Sermon on the Plain. So that tells me that Jesus probably taught this message many times in many different places. Because we have the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's account. But you find many identical things in Luke's account in Luke 6. And there it's called the Sermon on the Plain. He taught this more than once. I believe he taught it a lot. But look what he says in Luke 6, 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the what? To the false prophets. Now here we go back to that. He said over here, when you get persecuted, in other words, they're certainly not saying, all men are not saying well of you, but you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For in that same way, for so persecuted they, in the same way, they persecuted the prophets which were before you. He's included you in the prophet's mantle. If you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, because you will not compromise with the world. Light is light, dark is dark, sin is sin, and you will not compromise. You're going to be persecuted as a true prophet of God, as a mouth of God, letting Christ still speak through you. But if you compromise and start Can I say getting in bed with the world, agreeing with the world, watering down the gospel, start saying things that just are not so. Well, yeah, you may come to the place where all men speak well of you. Oh, that person there, all men speak well of you. Well, that's how they talk to the false prophets. And I don't want to be in that camp. I don't want to be counted with the false prophets. You know what happened to them? They all died. I want to be counted with the true prophets. So I wrote here, do all men speak well of you? Well, maybe your flesh needs to die a little more so the light can shine brighter. In the very next passage, Jesus talks about us being the light of the world and not to hide our light under a bushel. Now, it's no coincidence that this beatitude about persecution for righteousness' sake follows last week's about blessed are the peacemakers. You remember what that message was? See, Jesus said, and I can't teach that again, but we've got to be a peacemaker the same way He was a peacemaker. And He plainly says, I didn't come to bring peace on earth. In fact, I came with a sword. I'm going to cause division. A man's enemies will be his mother and his father and his own household. Isn't that true? Because you're the one that got born again, and until they get born again, there's division. So when He talks about being a peacemaker, He's not talking about that, you know, let's just water everything down to where there's no division between any camp in humanity, and we'll just all get along. I see that coexist thing. Well, we're supposed to coexist, but our real job is to bring peace to men and God. God, not holding men's trespasses against them, punished all of that in Christ. God has made the first move to make peace with you. And our job is to come and share the gospel with them so they can become at peace with God. We're peacemakers in the vertical sense. But when you do that, it's going to cause division in the horizontal sense. You got that? We're not come to water down the gospel to make peace with you. We've come to bring you to a place of peace with God. That's when you repent and believe the gospel. God, I'm preaching really good. Glory to God. So it's no coincidence that this one about persecution follows that one about being peacemakers. He's talking about bringing the true gospel that puts men in right relationship with God, makes peace between them and God. That's us. Part of that good news is repent. Well, the world just loves to hear that word. Repent and believe the gospel. When we let our true light shine like that, some will love the light and will come to the light, and then they'll be saved. Thank God for everyone that does. But others will hate the light because it exposes the darkness that they love, and they do not want to repent of it. And they want to remain in it. And then they're going to come against you to try and extinguish the light. And hopefully their main goal is to get you to eventually you'll wind up rejecting the light. But it starts with compromise. It starts with compromise. And it's hard when it's family. Hard when it's close friends. And I brought a little article that I got. This is not out of the Bible, but this is actually from 2017, this article. And it was on CBN and Fox News and other. I found it several places. But the title is this: Christians are the most... See, in America, because we have not suffered such great persecution, can I just be honest with you? We're wimps. We have no idea what our brethren around the world are going through. Carol knows. She works for a Voice of the Martyrs, which I recommend that organization to you. We give to it. Subscribe to it. But let me just read this little article to you, and then I'll be through. Christians are the most persecuted religious group in the world. That's according to the Center for Global Christianity. Now, you ready? You might want to write down some numbers here later on. Around 500 million Christians in the world are unable to express their faith completely freely. With around 90,000 killed for their faith in the year 2016 alone. About 70% of Christians killed in 2016 died in tribal conflicts in Africa. Many of them Christians who refused to take up arms against their persecutors for reasons of conscience. The other 30%, or roughly 27,000 people, were killed in terror attacks, the destruction of Christian villages, or government persecution. In March of 2017, the Chaldean Bishop of Aleppo, that's in Syria, reported that in just 5 years of conflict, the Christian population of Syria, y'all do remember Antioch was in Syria. There's two Antiochs, one of them is in Syria. That's where Paul was called. I believe Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas. That was in Antioch, in Syria. So this bishop of Aleppo reported that in just 5 years of conflict, the Christian population of Syria has been reduced from 1.5 million to just 500,000. America, we don't know what persecution is. That person didn't agree with me. I don't think they like me anymore. Oh. No. Our brethren around the world are dying for their faith. Not even willing to take up arms against their persecutors. Say it with me. I am blessed when I am persecuted. I rejoice when I'm persecuted for righteousness' sake. When I'm persecuted as a Christian, I am happy.